Beginning our reading with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I don't have real love, I'm just making a lot of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I may seem to be spiritually great, but unless I have love, all that is worth nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Without love, all that we can give is worth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Amen. We end our reading with verse 7 and trust that the Lord will bless us today as we think on these words. Endureth all things. Charity, real, godly, Christian love, endureth all things. Imagine that. Real love has an enduring, overcoming, persevering, victorious power so that it cannot be overcome. When Gilbert Beckett was a young man, he went as a soldier from his native England to the Holy Land during one of the Crusades in the Middle Ages. He was captured by the Muslims, and they made him into a slave for a Muslim prince. He did such good service for that prince that he was given many privileges and much liberty to move about. During his time in serving that Muslim prince, the prince's daughter fell in love with Gilbert. And the day came when Gilbert, because of the freedom he had been given, managed to escape. And he returned to his home in London, England. The young prince's loving heart followed Gilbert back to England. Even though he was far away, she had a great desire to be where he was. And so she determined to go to him in England. She knew only two words in English. One of them was London. The other one was Gilbert. By saying London, all along the difficult journey, she managed at last, with some of her riches, to actually arrive in London. But then she had the problem of locating Gilbert in that huge metropolis, even in those days. So she kept on for weeks, going up and down the various streets of London, searching for him. And she would cry out, going up and down each street, the only other English word that she knew. Gilbert! Gilbert! She cried out. At last, she arrived at the lane where Gilbert lived. And he heard her voice in the street crying out, Gilbert! Gilbert! So looking out the window, he could not believe his eyes. He opened the door and rushed out and welcomed his princess into his arms, and she became his wife. She looked at him that day and spoke to him that one other fond word that she knew of English, Gilbert. Love endureth all things. This word endureth means that divine love in the heart cannot be conquered, no matter what the obstacles. Divine love, godly love, cannot be overwhelmed by anything. The princess's love for Gilbert Beckett faced many obstacles and adversaries. Nevertheless, her love for Gilbert overcame them all. So it is with the gift of divine grace and love in the heart of a redeemed sinner. That love, that gift, cannot be overcome. This morning we are finishing this seventh verse, and I have no plans of ever returning. We are concluding this verse with these words, "Charity endureth all things." So let us ask, first of all, what are the enemies or obstacles of God's love in the heart and to God's love in the heart? What are the enemies and obstacles that the love of God in the heart of a Christian faces? What are those obstacles? Secondly, why can't these enemies overthrow the love of God in the heart of the child of God? What are these obstacles? And why can't these obstacles overcome the love of God in the heart of the believer? First of all, what are the enemies of divine love in the Christian's heart? The believer's enemies are many. They are innumerable. They surround us on every side, and they are always ready to swallow us up. The Christian, you know, is a pilgrim in a strange country, marching through an enemy's land, and liable to be set upon and attacked from any direction at any moment. Many are the demons who are strong, intelligent, and active, who are ready to destroy God's gift in the believer's heart. Not only are these unseen spiritual forces of darkness ever lurking and ready to destroy the believer and that love of God, that grace in the believer's heart, the evil world system itself is ever ready to oppose God's grace in us. Temptations and allurements of the world are constantly trying, constantly working to turn us aside from the path of right and the path of duty. The enemies outside the believer are sly, subtle, and very strong. But the most effective enemy would not be an enemy on the outside. The most effective enemy is on the inside. Is the one that is closest to us. It is the remaining corruption of our fallen nature. From within come evil thoughts and every kind of sinful inclination, Jesus told us. Out of the heart proceed many of these evil things. This enemy has the greatest advantage because of its nearness to us. All these enemies are after us. But also, these enemies are such as make powerful and violent assaults upon God's love and grace in our hearts. They're not only there, but they will make these assaults at different times. These enemies constantly besiege our hearts. But then there are certain seasons when they attempt to take the heart by storm and sudden all-out attack and assault. Sometimes the enemies attack one after another. But at other times, haven't you had days when all the enemies seem to attack at once, like a great flood, to overwhelm the heart And even to take that spark of God's love and grace that's within and overcome it with raging waves. There are times when that divine gift of love within us is like the snowflakes that we saw the last few days. When the sun comes out, those flakes just pass away so suddenly. Well, that divine gift of grace within us would certainly be overwhelmed by these enemies if it weren't for the grace of God, if it weren't for the power of God in upholding us. Such has been the history of the people of God all down through the ages. You remember Israel in the land of Egypt. The Egyptians would have exterminated them as a people if it hadn't been for the upholding hand of God. They wanted to wipe them out, kill all the little baby boys, throw them in the River Nile. Well, David in the wilderness described his experience as being hunted and hounded as a partridge was hunted on the mountains. He was driven from one cave or den to another by cruel Saul. Down through the history of God's people, thousands and even millions of the saints of God have been put to death by anti-Christian forces during times of awful persecution. But remember this, all the opposition that has arisen against Christ's church has not been able to destroy it. Neither can all earth or hell destroy God's gift of saving love and grace in the individual believer. No more can that power of all evil destroy the church than it can destroy an individual believer. All these enemies may exceedingly assault and oppress the child of God and seem to bring us to the very brink of ruin and destruction. Yet we survive and we live on. Like David, we are graciously delivered from the very jaws of the lion and from the paw of the bear. We may be swallowed up for a time, as Jonah was, but we shall come up again and live. We may, like the apostle's ship in the sea, when it was full of water, nearly sink, but we will not totally or finally sink because Christ is with us in the vessel. Like the smoking flax, there may be no flame of love reaching forth from our hearts, yet the smoking flax shall not be quenched or totally extinguished. Even when there's only smoke, God promises that He will not quench the smoking flax. Grace shall not only remain, but grace shall get the victory. David may be overwhelmed and oppressed long in the wilderness, but he ultimately, you remember, ascended the throne and experienced great joy and glory. And so it will be with every believer. Every one of God's people will be exalted in due time. Where the grace and love of God are truly present in the heart, they shall ultimately triumph. What does our text say? Charity endureth all things. It's not overcome by them. This is the same word that Christ used when He said several times in the Gospel, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Not the one who seems to start out like the hare in the race with the tortoise, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. But praise God. It is God working in us. It is His grace enduring in us, not so much us enduring. True grace and love are a power that mortifies sin. Divine love in the heart dispossesses sin of its dominion. True grace moves the heart to seek the Lord, to seek divine things, and to seek divine help in prayer for overcoming, persevering in victorious grace against sin. Real love in the heart stirs us up to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. Well, not only this deposit that God puts within us because of its divine origin, but the Lord Himself upholds the believer's heart. Because He has promised, He will not let us fall. He will not let us utterly sink and utterly be cast down. For He has said in Psalm 37, verse 24, a righteous man may fall, but he shall not be utterly cast down. Philippians 1, 6, He who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning, He will complete it, He will perfect it, He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jude 24, He will present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And the joy will not just be ours, the joy will be His who presents us as well. Jude 24. The Lord upholds grace not only because He has promised, but He upholds grace in the believer's heart because Christ has fully atoned for every believer. If the redemption purchased by Christ did not secure us from finally falling away, that redemption would be very weak and imperfect. Now think about that. Christ has made a full atonement for us. If that atonement and that redemption did not fully secure us from finally falling away, that redemption would be very weak and imperfect. The Lord upholds grace in the believer's heart not only because of that deposit, His promise, and the redemption of Christ. The Lord upholds grace in us because of the new covenant. The old covenant, you know, was a covenant of works. It was dependent upon the will of man. It was dependent upon the free will of man. And look, man was not surrounded by all the enemies then that we are surrounded by now. So if free will failed unfallen man in a perfect place, what could we do with free will in a world that is full of spiritual enemies for us? Thank God. The new covenant is not like the old covenant, the covenant of works. The covenant of grace is based not upon our free will, but it is based upon the goodness of God. It is ordered in all things and sure. It's not some hope-so or possible salvation. It is ordered in all things and sure. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. We're going to think more about this matter of the covenant of grace versus the covenant of works. Grace is upheld in the believer's heart because the second Adam succeeded where the first Adam failed. If the first Adam had succeeded, all of us in him would have stood with him and been justified. But he failed. So we stood condemned with him naturally. The second Adam, however, Christ Jesus, has successfully stood. He has kept, he has obeyed the law, he has persevered completely in it for us. So those that are in Christ, united to him by faith, stand justified and shall not come into condemnation. John 5:24. Have passed from death into life. Will God let those that He has brought from death into life pass from that spiritual life back into spiritual death? Of course not. For He says, you shall not come into condemnation, for you've passed from death into life. The Lord upholds His love in our hearts by actually justifying every believer. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is the actual acquittal of the sinner. We are freed from guilt. We are freed from condemnation. We are freed from hell and are given a full title to eternal life in heaven. Christ upholds the believer also by being our resurrection and our life. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6, that though we were dead in sin, we have been quickened by Christ and raised up together with Him. All right, now you think about that. Christ's resurrection is given to us so that we are raised, not only looking forward to our bodies being raised, but we are even raised together with Him now and made to sit in the heavenlies in Him. So we share with Christ the glories of His life and resurrection. Revelation 1:18, He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Can you imagine Jesus dying again? Because Jesus lives forevermore, the believer cannot die spiritually. Romans 6:9, Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Romans 6:9. So the believer that is united to Him in His resurrection and in His life also dieth no more spiritually. We are alive in Him. He is our life. We share His life just as much as the branches do share the life of the vine. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. As long as He lives, we live. Christ is alive forevermore. So every believer is united to Him by faith. And being united to Him, the true believer can never die. No more spiritual death. Praise God. So love endureth all things. This love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And will never be extinguished once being truly given. That life will never be taken away. Now, how does all this apply to our living from day to day? There are several lessons that we can learn from this. First of all, in our understanding, there are two lessons that we learn for our minds. Now we know why Satan tries so hard to keep sinners in death and darkness. Why does the devil work so hard day and night to keep sinners from Christ, to keep them in darkness and death? Because he knows that once a sinner gets truly converted, that sinner is forever beyond the reach of his destroying power. The old devil labors constantly to keep people away from Christ. And if he can't keep them from Christ and Christianity altogether, listen to me carefully, he is just as happy to let them have a little bit of religion. The devil is very happy to deceive people into thinking that they're all right because they go to church some, or they go to church often. Others he deceives into thinking that they're safe because they have mouthed a prayer, or they have made a profession, or they have been baptized or joined a church. It is now no great surprise why Satan is so active, earnest, and diligent to cause men not to be diligent, active, and earnest about their salvation. Understand this. The devil knows that once a sinner is converted from his way, he has him no more. He'll never be able to destroy him. So the devil is very active, earnest, and diligent in keeping sinners from being active, earnest, and diligent about their salvation. The second thing that we learn from this for our understanding is now we know that those who did not continue in the way of righteousness were never truly there. Love endureth all things. If you see somebody who professes to be a Christian and yet they fall away, they do not continue in the way of righteousness, then you have to conclude in your own mind, in your own understanding from the Lord and His Word, that they were never truly there. They didn't get saved and lose it. They don't make salvation appear to be a cheap and ineffective reality. They simply prove that they were deceived either by their own heart, by Satan, or by blind religious leaders of the blind. They were never in Christ. They were never new creatures. If they only seemed to be Christians and did not continue in the way of righteousness, they were never really true believers. Now then, there's not only from this message something for our minds to grapple with in understanding why Satan works so diligently and why people seem to be Christians for a while, and yet they prove in the end that they're not. But there's also comfort for our hearts. Thank God. Here it is. Oh, what a comfort this truth gives to God's own people. Those who know that God's love is in their heart know that they possess the greatest treasure in the whole universe. There is nothing as precious, there is nothing as valuable, there is nothing so wonderful in the whole universe for us to possess as this. To know that the love of God, that His saving grace is in our hearts. Because nothing can take that away. Everything else that we have or seem to have can be taken from us. But this precious jewel cannot be taken away. Everlasting life. That's exactly what it is. It lasts forever. It is everlasting life. I went to the prison yesterday, I guess for the second or third time for this year. And they've made a new rule. No Bibles. They had a stack of Bibles, of Gideon Bibles, that we could get one from the stack or two of them and sit at the table and read together and meditate on the Word. Now they've locked the Bibles up. And I went to one of the main officers yesterday and talked to him about it. And he said, well, the man above him had locked them up and didn't want them out because he's an atheist. Well, the Word of God can be taken from you in this world. But you know, eternal life cannot be taken away. What a comfort it is. We have the greatest treasure in the whole universe, and it won't be taken from us. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and those everlasting arms will conduct us all the way into glory. And there's one last thing. Not only is there understanding gained from this word that love endureth all things, not only is there comfort for our hearts, there's also encouragement for believers to go forward and onward with the Lord in the Christian warfare. We have enemies all around us. But isn't it the very thing that strengthens our arms and gives us courage for the fight when we know that we cannot lose? If in the battle, a soldier enters a battle knowing that we're going to be defeated in this battle, we're going to lose, we're going to be wiped out by the enemy, our bodies are going to be left lying on the battlefield, that just takes the courage right away. You talk about discouragement. There is no courage in the heart of the soldier who knows going into a battle that we're going to be completely overrun and wiped out, killed, and we'll be no more here. Well, what an encouragement. The truth of God's enduring grace and His love within us is to the believer. We can fight the good fight of faith against the enemies of our souls, for we know that we shall win. We do not have to be cast down, hopeless, or discouraged at all. Courage does not need to fail. When we know that we shall prevail, the Lord is on our side, we are assured of victory. Our arms are strengthened. We are brave and confident. We shall overcome by faith and love. Like that Middle Eastern princess that we began with today, no matter what the obstacle may be, we will go to our beloved and we will abide with our beloved forever and ever. Love endureth all things. Trust that God will encourage our hearts from His Word to love Him in return and to worship Him. Let us pray together. Our loving Father, we do thank Thee for the Word. We rejoice in Thee, O Holy Spirit, that Thou hast breathed this Word as God, from God. Lord, we thank Thee for the absolute certainty that once the good work of grace has begun to save us, that we shall be saved to the very end and forever. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts, that nothing shall pluck us out of Thy hand, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause everyone here to make absolutely sure that they have this glorious deposit of God's saving grace and love within the heart. We praise Thee that this is a treasure that cannot be taken away, that moth or rust will corrupt, and no thief can break in and steal. We thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.